Hi, I'm Cynthia McCarty, and today's message will be from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, from the New Living Translation. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
Awesome job. Thank you so much, Cynthia.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. It's weird having this microphone. There's that. Good morning, GC Surrey Hills. How's everybody doing? Yeah. Man, how about that worship? Oh, I told the team when they got finished with that set, I said, can we just keep doing that? That'd be great. And I've heard that there's actually rumors that there potentially could be a worship night that is kind of being planned. So we'll see with the worship director. So be sure to comment and say, yes, we want a worship night. We want a worship night. Yes, please. Worship director, please. Megan.
Now you gotta use my name. Maybe you forgot.
Well, I want to welcome you to GC Surrey Hills. It is so good to have you here. Welcome, church family. It is such a privilege to be here, to speak to you, to share in God's word, and to do life together as well. And all of you that showed up at the groundbreaking celebration last week, it was such a great time. It was so good to see all of you there that showed up. It did my heart so well, and I know a lot of other people felt the same. If you're new here and you don't know me, that is okay. You will get to know me, and I look forward to getting to know you. I am Joe Brannon. I am first a beloved child of God who happens to serve as the lead pastor here at Grace Communion Surrey Hills. And I just want to speak, maybe you're joining us today, and you're thinking, you know, I'm not a religious person. I don't know much about this Christianity stuff. I'm not a church person. Well, I just want you to know that you're included here, and this is a space for you. Because, you see, we're not about a set of rules and regulations or concepts or principles. We're passionate about a person, and that person is Jesus. That's who we're passionate about. So it doesn't matter where you are in life, what decisions you're making, what decisions you made in the past, it doesn't matter. You are welcome here. And you are valued and you are loved. Trust us. Trust us. So we've been going through a sermon series. Anybody know what sermon series is? At the heart. So we've been talking about what's at the heart of our church, Grace Communion Surrey Hills. I don't know why I hiccup there. Grace Communion Surrey Hills. And we have been going through on what it is that we do and why we do what we do and how we do the things. And these core values, they keep us focused on the unique calling that God has given us as a church. And so the core values that we've gone through so far, core value number one, we always start with Jesus. Period. I love it. I love it, Lucas. Thank you. I love it. We always start with Jesus. Period. That's our starting point. We value and love all people. We are guided by His word, and we are all about relationships. CJ shared that last week. People take priority over tasks and goals. And this week, we will actually be going through our next core value, which is we are better together. But before we get into that, let's pray. Father, Son, Spirit, we just pause. With all the chaos, with all the bells and whistles and the dings and the notifications that we receive, especially during this time when there just seems to be one bad thing after another with the blazing wildfires and hurricanes and the pandemic and the politics that are going on and all the mudslinging and tearing down of one another, we just pause. We just pause. Because we want to start with you. We know that you are in the center of it all, in the middle of the mess. And we know that you love and value all people. And so right now we just open ourselves up to what it is that you have to share with us. Because during this time, we are such a divided country right now, with so many different issues, that this core value that you have put on our hearts to be at the heart of who we are speaks to that very thing. And so I pray that your Spirit just moves. Have your way, Jesus. And we pray this in and through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Man, last week, CJ did a great job on bringing it. That girl brought it. She brought it. CJ, great job. Awesome job on bringing it. This is my shocked face. So I'm not shocked that you brought it so well. And I want to point something out. Because last week, near the end of her message, she said this one line that I thought, she just set it up perfectly for me to come in and share this core value. She really did. And this is a quote from her. It was at the end of her message. She said, "Community and relationship is God's desire for us." Because at the end of the day, when we grow in our relationships with others, we're growing in relationship with Him, with Jesus. We need love. We need friendship. We need each other. We need Jesus. Woo! Okay, we're done. We're done. I mean, I got chills, girl. Man, you brought it. I love it. And that just goes right along with what we're going to be talking about today. Because when we say that we are better together, we are talking about being in community. That's what we're talking about. And so the question is why even have this value? Because it's kind of like the last one. But so why have this specific value? Well, you see, we're meant to be in community. We were created to be in community. That's why this whole pandemic has been so difficult, because we have been fragmented and segregated, which then leads to other issues with the racial injustices and this separation. And there's all this fragmentation and this division going on. We are meant to be in community. I don't have this in my notes, but have you noticed that unity is in the word community? You see, the very nature of God is relationship and community. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, my sister CJ brought up this scripture. It says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us." Us. Our. Us. You see, God Himself is in community and relationship. Father, Son, Spirit. We were created from relationship into community, into this perfect community, into this perfect relationship. And this isn't, this community that we're talking about, of being a part of, is not this 2 hours a week on a Sunday morning. You see, we believe that life transformation happens best in community with others. Therefore, we are a church that intentionally builds healthy community, which brings us to the passage today. Because we're talking about community. So you have these apostles, these believers that have walked with Jesus. And then the church started to grow. More people started to believe. And so they started coming together to learn more. And this life transformation started to happen. And so we find ourselves in Acts 2. It says, all the believers devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship. Fellowship, hanging out with one another. Just being with one another. And to sharing in meals. The dinner table is a sacred space where amazing things happen. And devoted themselves to prayer. What I find remarkable in verse 43, it says, a deep sense of awe came over them all. A deep sense of awe. As they communed together, sharing in meals, spending time with one another, praying with one another, there was a deep sense of awe. When was the last time that you were awed? Honestly, where you just thought, wow. Jumping to verse 44, says, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Why am I repeating what Cynthia just read? You see, the reason being is because this kind of community was actually revolutionary. It was revolutionary because back then, the culture, it was more about the family unit. The family took care of the family. And a lot of times what you would see is this land that a family would own for generations upon generations, and they would actually just build off of that home as they had kids and their kids had kids, and you just essentially have like this big compound of this family. It was very unlikely that you would see what we see today where the kids move out and they go somewhere else. And so it was more about the family unit. And we can't forget also that we're talking about a Jewish culture. So to have people coming together in their homes to worship God, that was a big no-no, because it was the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, they're the ones that controlled what the people did when it came to worshiping God. So you're seeing this whole thing that is actually revolutionary. They came together and they shared everything with people in need. They looked outside of their own family unit. This kind of community was life transformational. Life transformational. As I was preparing for this, I was actually reminded, and it's awesome that my wife, Megan, she made mention about this tie with creation and how when we read that passage that the rocks will cry out, the rocks will worship. A lot of times we view that, I've heard it said that we view that as, well, if you don't do it, then the rocks will. But instead I saw it reframed where it said, well, when you forget how to worship, just look to the rocks, look to the trees, look to the creation on how they are worshiping the Creator. And so I was reminded of that this week, about God's creation and about community. Have you guys heard of an aspen tree? So an aspen tree, here's a picture of it. It's a native North American tree species, and it's about medium in size. It commonly grows from 20 to 80 feet in height, but it's only about 3 to 18 inches in diameter. So it's not like a big, giant oak tree, okay? So it's a medium-sized tree. And it grows in greatly diverse regions and environments and communities. It grows a lot up in Canada, and then it also spills into the United States and then into Mexico. And so it grows in a variety of habits. And what's really remarkable about the aspen tree is its long lateral root system. So through that root system, it actually reproduces aspen trees called clones. I believe that we have a picture that's showing these clones. So you can see there, a lot of these trees actually have identical characteristics because they share a root structure. But they also have distinguishing differences. You see, you look at that picture right there, and it may look like many different individual aspen trees, but the remarkable thing is that they're still distinct. They're still unique because there's some differences there. And because of their shared root system, they actually make up one unit, one tree, even though it looks like many trees. And because of the shared resources of nutrients, it can actually grow in many soil types. It can actually grow in sandy and gravelly slopes where most trees actually cannot grow. And because of the shared resources, it is actually an aggressive species. It's an aggressive pioneering species of tree. You see, what it can actually do is it can actually colonize a burned area quickly, an area that's been scorched by fires. It can actually colonize it quickly. And it can actually be persistent in areas that are frequently burned. So areas where life doesn't want to grow, the aspen tree is aggressive on going right into that and bringing new life. The largest and oldest known aspen clone, I think we have a picture of it. It's called the Pando clone in southern Utah, also known as the Trembling Giant. It is over 100 acres in size and weighs more than 14 million pounds. This aspen tree is massive. Massive. And it's actually believed to have one massive underground root system. And experts have determined that it is actually a single living organism. And they were able to find that out because it has identical genetic markers. So when they go from tree to tree to tree, they see identical genetic markers. It looks like a forest, but yet it is one tree. My brothers and sisters, I want to ask you a question. What if we, What if we, as followers of Jesus, rested and believed in who we really are? Follow me on this. I know I just made a big jump from talking about trees to talking about who we are in Jesus. You see, like the aspen tree, we recognize that we are the image bearers of Jesus. We are the image bearers of Jesus. When the scientists were going through and they were checking all these different trees, they saw identical genetic markers from tree to tree to tree. And they see that those trees actually were image bearers of the original tree. What if we, having identical characteristics because we're rooted in Christ, what could happen? But here's the beautiful part, is even though we may have identical characteristics, we're still unique. We're still unique. And like the aspen tree, we actually end up sharing our resources. Being rooted in Christ and believing that we're rooted in Christ and we are image bearers of the Creator, that we end up sharing the resources that we are receiving from the person that has all the resources and that is giving all the resources. And we use those resources in helping others in their journey to understanding who they are in Jesus. How could we, if we were that way, how could we, as a community of believers, be able to grow aggressively into the charred up, broken, burned up places of our world where there's pain and greed and selfishness, where there seems to be no life, but we are able to actually participate with Jesus in bringing life to what seems to be scorched and completely dead? What could we do? How could we participate with Jesus on doing this? Because Jesus is about abundant life. Jesus has conquered death. What kind of life transformation could we actually witness in our world, in our broken world right now? What kind of impact would we have in the lives of our neighbors? What kind of impact would we have in the lives of our city? And my brothers and sisters, what kind of impact would we have beyond that? So I want to go back. I'm talking about we are better together. And I mentioned in there, life transformation happens best in community with others. Did I say life transformation happens easy in community with others? Just like what CJ said, she said, I didn't say it was easy. And I'm not saying it's easy. Why? Because we're dealing with brokenness. Therefore, we are a church that intentionally builds healthy community. Intentionally builds healthy community. And one way we are intentional on building community are our connect groups. our small groups. Because like I said before, 2 hours on a Sunday morning, not much life transformation can happen with that. How deep can those roots really go 2 hours a week? Those roots need to go out. In other words, they need to take time. They need to go out into the week. Now, I get it. Maybe you have a preconceived notion of what small groups are. Maybe you had a really bad experience with small groups. I have seen small groups where they were not healthy. I want to explain the vision of our connect groups. In verse 42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, there was information that they were receiving from the apostles. This was new information too. This whole Jesus thing, this Jesus movement, they're like, we want to know more about that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. Relational. Fellowship, hanging out with one another, just being around one another, sharing a meal with one another and praying with one another. Side note, do you know how many scriptures are actually in the Bible that make specific reference to one another? Depending on the translation, there's 47 to 57 scriptures in the New Testament about talking about this is what you should do with one another. This is how you should respond to one another. I have the whole list, but I don't want to go through it. I've seen small groups where they get together and they're whatever it is that they're going through, whether it's scripture, whether it's a book, and people show up and it's just like an information dump. It really is. I mean, it's just, it's about getting through the book. It's about getting through that passage, that scripture and everything. And I have had people that have come back and they're like, you know, I just felt like I was being talked at. And it was just this information download, this information dump. But what does that mean for my life? What does that mean when I step into that group and I'm struggling with depression or I just messed up in my addiction? What does this really mean? I wanted to open up and lay my heart out to the people that I meet with on a regular basis, but there was no space for it. It was just this information dump. That's not healthy. That's not healthy. I've also seen groups where they have come together and they're just hanging out. That's all they're doing. They're just hanging out. They're having a good time. And sometimes it ends up being very unhealthy in some ways. It ends up being destructive. And I have had people that have gone to groups like that and they leave because they're like, there's no depth. There's no depth. I want more. I can go and hang out with other people. But when it comes to a small group of believers where I'm trying to learn more about this Jesus thing, I want to go deeper. I can hang out with my friends that go partying all the time. I can hang out with them and have a good time. But I want something more. That's not healthy. Information is not transformation. Relation isn't necessarily transformation. You have got to have information and relation to have transformation. Hello? You've got to have information plus the relation to have transformation. If you don't get information about God's love for you, if you don't hear that information, how in the world do you become transformed? But yet, if all you're doing is just information download constantly, you become an amazing theologian where you know a lot about God, but maybe you don't really know God. And you become so disconnected that you can't even connect with somebody that is hurting or broken because it's just about this information dump. You got to have both. So when we talk about healthy community, we're talking about information plus being relational. That brings life transformation. Because Jesus was about bringing information, but man, was he relational right in the middle of it. He said, "Let me tell you about the kingdom of God." Information. But you know what? We're going to do it just walking in life together, day by day. Do you think some people were transformed by that? I'm sorry? I'm pretty sure. I know I was transformed by that. What I envision is a growing community of people that is going deeper and deeper with one another in small groups. Being in community must go beyond loosely connected to deeply communing. What I envision with our small groups is a group of people that are sharing information about who they really are in Christ. Sharing information that you are rooted in Jesus. And you are an image bearer. You're that aspen tree. And you have all the resources in the world. You are a beloved child of God, sharing that information, but then walking alongside them through the hurt, through the pain, through the addiction, through the darkness, through the depression, through it all, doing life together. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. And that's what Jesus does. He continues to walk alongside me and you and all of you guys, and he continues to dump information into you, especially when we read scripture and he's saying, "I love you, I 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 love you." You can't hear that enough. So to be in community, to be together, we become better, not better Christians, not better good people or better neighbors. We're better together in the sense of we get to hear more and more and more of who we really are in Christ. And then our life starts to transform. As Megan comes up, I want to conclude with this. My big vision that I have, that we have as a church, is to have multiple connect groups that are encouraging and going deeper, helping one another, praying for one another, sharing meals with one another, doing life on life. CJ mentioned it last week. She said, And not just during the good times is where we go deeper in relationship with one another. But it's during the really hard times, the dark times, is when it goes deeper. So here's my challenge. This is going to be hard because we're doing something new here. We do have small groups that are going on. We got connect groups that are actually going on. And it's really challenging to launch something that's new, that's not really in the culture of a community. And when I say community, I'm talking about GC Surrey Hills. My question to you, what connect group are you a part of? What connect group are you a part of? Our current connect groups, our ladies are killing it. Let me tell you that. I just want to point that out. Michelle Ermey, she does sister to sister every other week, Tuesday nights, and it's usually virtual. Megan Ermey has a ladies connect group that meets every single week. You want to talk about life transformation? I have personally seen life transformation before my own eyes from some of the ladies in that group. We have kids connect groups, pre-K and elementary. They try to do it every week. There's hiccups. Sometimes it doesn't happen. But every single week, they try to do a connect group for the kids. And it's virtual right now. Paul Hunt has a connect group. We have a teen girls connect group that's led by Sarah and Brooke. Here's the thing, is we need to be intentional on building healthy communities, on the communities that I was just talking about, because we are better together and we're about life transformation. And what we need facilitators. We need people that are going to step in faith and be like, I have never led a group. I don't know what to do with leading a group, but send me, Lord. Maybe God is actually stirring that up within you. Maybe he's been whispering through the winds of the trees saying, you need to do this. And you've just been ignoring it and ignoring it. Maybe that is you. And I get it. It can be scary. It can be scary. But let me ask you this. It's really simple. Can you share a meal with a group? Can you have dinner with a handful of people? Can you maybe read a few questions and just facilitate a discussion? We're not asking for theologians. We're asking for those who are willing. Can you pray for someone? Can you sit next to somebody as they just got word that maybe their loved one has cancer and they just need a shoulder to cry on? You see, you don't need all the answers for this. You don't need to be a pastor or even a leader in the church to be a facilitator. All we ask is that you be willing and step out in faith. Because here's the thing, and here's the thing that I wrestle with as a pastor. I know Pastor Ermey, he's constantly having to remind me, and I know he has to remind himself and the leaders in our church and everything. It is not your work. It's Jesus' work. Jesus is the one that's working within you. And Jesus is actually working in the one that is across the table from you, the one that you may be in there facilitating the small group with. It's Jesus' work. These communities that we're talking about, we're growing together. I'm growing together in the community that I'm in. And we have resources to help. We have ideas and things to actually help you, so you're not just going to be going in blind. Matter of fact, Megan Ermey helps put together sermon study guides. So she listens to these sermons and she writes questions. So if you just listen to the sermon, you've already got questions for the small group. So then you can focus on what? You can focus on the relationship. There's the information. I'm helping you with the information. What if you just stepped in there to do the relational part? What could happen? Could we see some transformation because the Holy Spirit is working? So if God is calling you, if you feel that stirring in your heart to maybe facilitate a small group, reach out to us. You can go to our website, you can contact us through there, or you can email us, Connect Groups, so it's a K. We got creative, okay? So it's Connect with a K, connectgroups@gcsurreyhills.org. Or maybe you're just unsure, but you just want to explore, you just want to dip your toe in the water a little bit, that's okay. Let's dip that toe in. Because brothers and sisters, we are better together. We are better together. And life transformation happens when we are in community with one another, outside of the Sunday worship experience. Let's pray. Father, Son, Spirit, the perfect community, perfect relationship. Help us to see that we already belong in that perfect community, in that perfect relationship. And right now, I pray for that person that is looking to maybe lead a small group, a connect group. But I also pray for those who are looking for that community, and that all of our connect groups end up being a direct reflection of the perfect community, that there is unity in our community, and that we see life transformation happen, not because of our own doing, but because of our participation in what it is that you are doing, because we have a work to participate in. It's yours. It's yours, Jesus. Pray for that stirring within our souls, that our longing for community, that we find it and we become so deeply rooted in you that we become image bearers of who you are, and that we are sharing our resources with one another, sharing the fact that other people are loved just as much as we are. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us what it's like to be in community. And it's because of you that we, humanity, we're better together. In Jesus' name, amen.